Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Here's me in my broken down, whatever piece of crap car I was driving in Bloomington Normal, pull up, and this is a, have a great day, Steak and Shake, I take your order. And I remember, it's a true story. The first time I heard this guy, and he looks just like you would think, too. And I actually said, what? And he repeats, have a great night, Steak and Shake, I take your order. We'd go back, and there was one time when he wasn't there, and I remember us asking if we were like, is the other guy there? Is he like working inside today? Can we come inside and order the food? Because if he's inside, we'd like to get our burgers, our doubles from that guy, and not necessarily you. And God bless you, but you sound completely normal in the drive-thru.
We don't want the normal. We didn't come to no Steak and Shake. For a normal person.
Right. I think his name was Carl. We want to talk to Carl.
Of course his name was Carl.
Yeah, we respect you and the work that you're doing, Jennifer, but we'd like to get our burgers from Carl, if that's okay with you.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes today is The Score's Mark Grody.
Face drop! What's going on? It is Mark Grody in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk Bears with Herb Howard. But next, and we took so much time in transition, we are going to take a fast break and come right back and talk with the voice of the Bulls on the radio, Chuck Swirsky, about tonight's Bulls game at Milwaukee. It is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Right corner, bullseye! Ayo Dosunmu is on fire from three-point range. In 35 minutes, he's 3 of 4. He's got a 17-point, 7-assist game.
What's up? It's Mark Grody with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score here till 2 o'clock in for Lawrence Holmes. Text line is wide open, 312-644-6767. Apparently, we're not going to have Chuck Swirsky on. Because he had to tend to something else. So no Chuck happening right now. I am sorry for that. We will talk about the Bulls, though. We've got Bears talk coming up at 1 o'clock. This has been a chaotic time for the Bulls, obviously, with the recent four-game losing streak. A nice win over a Cleveland team, which is not a particularly good matchup for the Bulls. The nice one. They beat Cleveland 117-104 with DeRozan scoring 30. Vooch had another double-double. Ayo Dosunmu just continues to be magical. Every time he scores like 15 or more points, it's just magical. And we're all like, wow, what's the ceiling on this guy? This is incredible. This is fast. We do have to get past that part with Ayo Dosunmu. At some point in time, we do have to acknowledge that while a second-round pick that nobody thought was going to be presented to this rotation anytime earlier this year, we do eventually have to get used to the idea that he's part of this team and he is a rotational player who's a pretty good defensive player, and some nights he's gonna get hot and score some points. So while we could all enjoy the improvement that will occur or will have occurred through the years, we do have to accept that and maybe I'm just talking to myself right now. Ayo Dosunmu is a real ass rotational player in the NBA. So he had 18 points, and he played good defense there. Kobe White with 16 the other night as well. But what's happening right now with the Bulls, even though there have been reasons for it, good reasons for it, like losing star players and COVID and all of those things that all teams have been stricken with, it still does feel like that at some point in time, the Bulls were going to cool down from wherever they were, even if they were at full strength, even if they had all three of their stars and everybody was healthy and things were going smoothly. It sure felt like what the Bulls have been doing this year was not going to stand up the entire year, that some things would come back to the mean, and some of that you can't predict because you don't know how much a young player improves from year to year. Somebody like Lonzo Ball, who is 24 years old. This is still a guy who may not be close to his ceiling in the NBA, and, you know, flinging up threes, and sometimes he just gets red hot. So nice to have a point guard around, an adult in the room when it comes to point guard, and now he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that arthroscopic surgery. They're going to dig into his left knee. A meniscus tear, I believe, is the way it was posed for Lonzo Ball. But sidetracking myself there, we knew at some point in time what the Bulls were doing, and that was starting to build a nice little lead in the Eastern Conference, that the teams that have quote-unquote more talent, like the Brooklyns of the world, like the Milwaukees of the world, maybe the Miamis of the world, that they would start to make their moves eventually as well. I mean, Milwaukee right now is 2 games back as the Bulls bounce in Milwaukee tonight, 7 o'clock here on The Score. And did anybody think that they were going to be sitting, you know, just kind of laying in the weeds? Or how long did we think that Milwaukee was going to be laying in the weeds? Not long. And you could say the same thing about Brooklyn, even though they have gotten their act together and they're just a half game back and they did what they did to the Bulls recently. You kind of knew that they were going to, that they at any time, those two teams, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, are capable of taking over the Eastern Conference and running away with it. So even if the Bulls had not had these issues, and there are real issues going on, I do think that things would have come back to the mean a little bit, and it will be, in the end, an absolute race for the Bulls and you know, maybe go back to being happy thinking about the fifth seed or the sixth seed, something like that, unless you do make some sort of move. And now it is apparent. Like, that's what I learned during the 4-game losing streak, because there's that hope in the back of one's head, or at least in the back of my head, that, you know what, the Bulls do have enough. That with DeMar DeRozan doing what he's doing, and Zach LaVine continuing to blossom, and Lonzo Ball, and Nikola Vucevic finally starting to have some monster games, and Alex Caruso's back, and just what has been a really good IO, what has been a really good bench this year, maybe they can be that Detroit Pistons, Richard Hamilton-led team, where it is team, like where you have a star or stars, but really it's about a team concept, and maybe this Bulls team would be capable of that. And guess what? During that 4-game losing streak, that part was X'd out. 4-game losing streak, not that big a deal, but I was able to learn from that this is not going to be the Bulls team that is going to maintain the prowess in the Eastern Conference if they don't go out and get either another scorer just to make that crazy, or an interior defender, another big man that can match up with some of the other opposing team's big men, that the Bulls can still do damage in this year, in this postseason, win a round or two. But in terms of, you know, winning the Eastern Conference Finals or competing in it or even getting to it and, you know, subsequently the finals, that to me is a non-starter now. That is not going to happen for the Bulls unless they build up better or other teams have serious injuries. If one of those teams is to be disassembled by things out of their control, that's the only other way. But that always exists in sports. So the Bulls, they if they want to make this real, man, they got to get better. Tonight's going to be a tough game at Milwaukee. I don't see the Bulls beating the Bucks tonight. You know that they are going to be very hungry, considering they are 2 games back. Whatever, I know. Like, in the grand scheme, they've got plenty of time to make up that ground. But Bulls haven't played Milwaukee yet this year, and guess what? They're the returning champs. And they've been hearing a lot about these Bulls. You know, it's a quick drive. They know that that Chicago is the metropolis of the Midwest, no matter what. So the Bulls are always going to be the team in the Midwest. And considering history and all that, that teams will think about, especially if they are playing well. So Milwaukee has had to have been thinking about the Bulls in their heads a little bit in a different way. Like, as in, okay, you guys think you're good. And now the Bulls will enter that game banged up against the Bucks tonight with, you know, Lonzo Ball being out and Zach LaVine. So it is, you know, it has been lately. I mean, it has been the never-ending headache of schedule. They didn't even talk about that. Schedule's been a bitch lately. Injuries and COVID, and it's all sort of hit at once. But there are some real moments of realization that don't have anything to do with the injuries. All right, we are going to take a quick break. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show. I'm Mark Grody filling in. Looking forward to talking to Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, coming up in 15 minutes from now at 1 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
In the situation Chicago's in, we cannot afford to miss with Justin Fields. He has to be good or we are going to be set back another 5 years. I mean, there's, you know, everybody I think in Chicago agrees to that point. So why not get somebody that we know has built an offense from the ground floor with similar talent in similar conditions and has been pretty darn successful and has a record of being around some pretty good guys, I think, you know, Saban and Belichick.
I was listening to Dave Wanstead yesterday on with Danny Parkins solo on the Parkins and Spiegel show. That hit home with me. The part where he said that Justin Fields has to be good. And he's right. He is spot on. And it's amazing where we are right now with Justin Fields, that still the most important person on that Bears roster. Well, whether or not he's a star or the future of the franchise, we don't know. I tend to think that he will be, but I know that there is no way to actually say that at this point. The evidence certainly wasn't there last season for Justin Fields. It was more poor than good for Justin Fields for sure. So it is kind of a daunting thought, because last year, going into the season with Justin Fields, it was all the motto was not the motto, but what was repeated often was, he is great. Put him in. He is incredible. This is the best pick the Bears have ever had. This is not Mitch Trubisky. This is way better than Jay Cutler. This is the toolsiest quarterback the Bears have ever had. He's great. He's great. He's going to be great. Put him in. Put him in. Put him in. And I'm sure I uttered that many times too. I think I was all over the scale because I was there every day watching every minute of it. So it's hard not to see the fluidity of the situation when you are covering the Bears and covering the story. So it's easy from practice to practice based on what one sees to change one's opinion if you are on the beat, so to speak. So that's why that happens or happened for me. But now here we are in a situation where this year, well, last year it was all fun. It was, he's going to be great. You got to play him. You got to play him. And then we saw it. And now this year, how daunting is that to go from what Justin Fields was last year? Okay. And it was just not a good year, whether it's his fault or not, whether or not it means a damn thing. But it is daunting to think about the idea that based on that, Justin Fields has to be good this year. He has to be. Because if he has a bad year this year, then you're palm to forehead, walking, pacing wherever you might be, back and forth. Like, really, is this happening again? This guy is not going to work out too. And then where do you go? Can you imagine if Justin Fields doesn't work out for the Bears? Just for everybody, organizationally, fandom, media. So I just, that made me think about that, and the word daunting came to my head when I heard that said yesterday. What a daunting thought that you had a year this year where Justin Fields got out there and there were bright spots, but mostly it was a struggle. And, you know, there are reasons to pick through. What was it? Matt Nagy? Was it the coaching staff? Was it the offensive line? Was it Allen Robinson? Was it the weapon? There's a billion things that could go into why things went poorly last year and why things could go better this year, starting with he gets the football the first day of training camp and he'll have it throughout the entire time. But think about that. When the Bears open the season, he is on the clock next year. And that would seem to be a hard task to turn it all around from last year and see that marked improvement. Hopefully we will. But that's just a little overwhelming is the way my brain perceive that and process that. Let's talk more Bears coming up here on the Lawrence Holmes Show. We are going to welcome in Herb Howard. He is the Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. Herb Howard is next. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.